Hello and welcome. I'm Alec Hogg. You've read the headlines on biznews.com, watched the interviews on BizNews TV and caught up on the BizNews briefing. So now let's talk about the latest developments and what they mean for your money. This is the Editor's Desk, exclusive analysis for BizNews Premium members. Today is Tuesday, the 9th of December, 2025. Glad to have you with me. I think I've been watching more television, certainly news television lately than in the past. And I've been noticing something with OUTsurance. OUTsurance are interviewing all these people who don't look like actors, a little bit like We Buy Cars, by the way. I think the two of them have got a pretty good approach. They go and talk to their customers, they interview their customers, and they then package these adverts that the rest of us get to see. And I often wondered to myself, you know, if this guy can save $500 a month, or if that lady can save R400 or R500 a month, I wonder what my insurance is. Anyway, I did it today. So I spoke to OUTsurance today and I got a quote for my vehicle. Now, I bought this car in 2019 out the box. So it was brand new. It is a most beautiful vehicle. It's a Peugeot 3008. I'd seen them in the UK. I didn't think they were even available here in South Africa, but they certainly are. And through a member of the community, a member of the tribe, who has a, or then had, a motor vehicle outlet. I don't want to name him, but he knows who he is, in Gauteng. And I said, he had Peugeots in the brands. And I said, have you got these 3008s? Because when I look around everywhere, it doesn't seem to be in South Africa. He said, no, absolutely, they're there. And we actually got this batch, and they were top of the range. And anyway, I made the purchase. And my vehicle has treated me beautifully ever since. I'm a huge fan of this particular Peugeot, and I've looked after my vehicle very well. Anyway, it was with Discovery Insure. I say it was with, so I'm giving you a little bit of a hint on what happened. And my monthly payment on Discovery Insure was R1,624.43. Now remember, you might think that that's low, but I live in Hermanus, which is a very safe area. You don't see too many accidents here, certainly not like in Gauteng, in Joburg, where I lived most of my life. There aren't any potholes here, so you're not going to smack too many of those. I did that once, actually, with in KZN, going to family, going along the R43 just near Piggly Wiggly. Those of you from the Midlands will know exactly where I'm talking about. And boy, did I hit this pothole in the middle of the road, and it took out two of the tires. And that was, well, not the kind of thing that's going to happen in the Western Cape. It just doesn't happen here. There aren't potholes. If there are potholes, they get fixed very quickly. And actually, the roads get maintained. But anyway, R1,624.43. So I spoke to Tsidi, is his name, at OUTsurance. He's got a penchant for saying 100%, 100%. Very nice to be talking with him. And he came back with a quote of R710. Now, seriously? Sorry, R709. Let's just look at this. I'm paying R1,624.43 to Discovery, who are sending me lots of reminders, and this is what got me thinking about it as well, to say you've got to get your tracker updated. We must update your tracker. Otherwise, I don't know if the vehicle's not covered or whatever. But part of the whole Discovery spiel is that you have that so that you then, you have the Discovery Insure, so that you then get a benefit from your life insurance, and then you get a benefit from your medical aid, and then come into the bank and you win with all of these things. Well, I was on the verge Those of you who follow Biz News will know a few years ago, I was on the verge of moving from Investec to Discovery Bank. And the Investec guys got hold of me and they said, no, hang on a minute. And they unpacked the whole thing for me. And I could see that maybe the marketing is a little bit stronger than the reality. And certainly as in the banking side, I get a much better banking deal from Investec than I would have got at Discovery. That's the one thing. And then the other thing that also got me worrying about or a bit irritated with Discovery was I saw something on Facebook today where a guy had two pictures, and he had a picture of a Discovery executive getting a free medical. And then my pal, and he is my pal, Oscar Chalupski, I saw it was Oscar in the picture. He didn't name Oscar, but he said this guy's been refused by Discovery for this treatment, which was cancer treatment. I know Oscar's is an unbelievable guy. I mean, he was given 3 months to live years ago, and he's still hanging in there. He's a real fighter, world champion, and you wouldn't expect anything less from that guy if you knew him. But I looked at that picture and I said, whoa, hang on a minute. It wasn't on Facebook, it was on LinkedIn. And LinkedIn, to me, is pretty credible because the people who are posting these things, you can see them, you can see what they do, you know what they're up to. And I thought, no, man, there's something going on here. Anyway, as far as medical aid is concerned, I'm with Discovery. I've been very happy with them. I'm not going to be moving them. But jeepers, man, I'm already thinking, how much extra am I paying for that convenience? Because if I can get a 56% discount on something as basic as motor insurance, 56%. Now, it's not a lot of money. It's 915 rand a month. You multiply that by for a year, and, well, you're talking over 10,000 rand. Yeah. I can do a bit with 10,000 rand. And then I start thinking, what about the other things as well? Anyway, that's what I did. And I just thought I'd share that with you because the insurance stories that we see on television, often most of us are a bit cynical and immune to it and say, oh, they probably got clever, you know, they probably paid that guy to say that. But they didn't, because I can tell you now, there it is. I saved 915 Rand a month. I saved 56% of what I was paying just by one phone call. And it took me about 15 minutes. Anyway, my new car will be insured by insurance from the 1st of January, and happily so. Why am I doing all of this? They aren't paying me for it, I can assure you. Neither are insurance. They don't even advertise with us, and so there's no loyalty there. But I just think that it's so often we get caught in a routine, and we need to stop, take a step back, have a look at what it is that we're in, and suss out the market, because corporations tend to do that. If you don't look, if you don't check your bank charges, if you don't reassess those long-term contracts, it has a way of biting you. I recall at MoneyWeb, remember MoneyWeb started in the early days of the internet, and as the internet grew, we had Moore's Law on connectivity on broadband, and after that terrible telecom monopoly where they trickled out bandwidth to South Africans and charged the absolute earth for it because they could, because there were no other players in this market until Seacom landed a cable. A telecom had a complete monopoly. We were paying, now, I mean, today it sounds ridiculous. I don't know what you pay for a gig, but it's pretty low, I don't know, 10 cents, 5 cents. But we were paying per meg, we were paying something like 40 Rand per meg. And when I had a look at the accounts, what happened was I went on a bit of a sabbatical for a few years, for a couple of years, and then came back to MoneyWeb. And the first thing you do when you're going back and you become the CEO again, is you have a look at all the details, and that's what we do. That's what anyone would do. And I could see there that there was this huge account coming from one of our service providers. And the service provider had a contract going back 10 years where, or maybe it wasn't, yeah, I think it was probably 10 years where at that time the bandwidth costs were very high. And they had been, the contract was, they just escalated it every year by 5% or 10%. So while Moore's Law was driving down bandwidth costs from 50 rand a meg to 1 cent or half a cent a meg, these guys were charging us 50 rand plus 5% every year. So we got to the stage where it was just, it was like extraordinary. And I phoned the CEO and I said to him, what the hell are you doing? How can you charge us this? Do you think that we won't eventually, we will never discover this? Oh no, terribly sorry, he said, but you didn't give us a discount. You never paid us back. And that's the problem, because I suppose he's got his own cost structures that he's looking at. Don't, just learn from my example and go and have a look at those things. And if you've got insurance with Discovery, phone our insurance. Yeah, I mean, I can do a lot more with that 10 grand a year than they can do. Yeah, anyway. On the investment side, yes, I am going to look at insurance. No, I really am. I've been scheming a while on it, and I do think that it's a great stock. I see it's only up 8.5% this year. So the year to date, it hasn't been running. It was very highly rated, rightly so. And the stock is, it's not one of those that you look at, oh, goodness, it's gone up 50% the past year. I will be doing some more research on it, and who knows, we might bring it into the Ricardo portfolio. Another stock I'm going to look at very closely is Famous Brands. Their year-to-date are down 18%. Famous Brands is still got a bit of an overhang. They bought that Gourmet Burger Kitchen in the UK. Fantastic burgers. Shocking business. They did their boots there. They lost billions in it. And they learnt big lessons. Today, I spoke to Terry Boardman, who is the group executive in charge of the fast, I think they call it the fast food kitchens or something. Anyway, they got some fancy abbreviation for it. And he's the guy who put together the deal that they've done with a subsidiary of Petronas. You'd remember Petronas used to own Engen in South Africa. I hadn't known that they'd sold that off, but he explained to me they had. But during the time that Petronas from Malaysia was the owner here, they started talking to Famous Brands. So you're going back a little while. And Famous Brands, you'll know if you travel the roads, they've got Wimpy and Steers and Debonairs. You'll see them at the Engen stations. And in fact, there's a Wimpy at pretty much every Engen station on the long hauls. So that, to me, has always been a place that I'd love those Wimpy breakfasts or the Steers chips. And we know them here in South Africa. They're going to do the same in Malaysia. And this subsidiary of Petronas, the same guys who used to own Engen, have got 800 service stations. Ish, I like the story. I really like the story. But I like the story in that they're not going in there gung-ho like they did with GBK. They're going in the UK. They're going into an emerging market, and they're going there as a partner and with licensing and as a franchisor, not as the owner of the whole initiative. That's the way to do business internationally from my experience. Trying to do it on your own, I've really struggled. Doing business internationally with a partner has been some of the most fulfilling business relationships in my life. Anyway, so there we go on that one. We'll be back with the portfolio next Tuesday. So we've decided that we're going to have a break at the end of next week. And I'll have you know something very interesting if you haven't picked it up yet. Our Daybreak program is really, really popular. So what happens is that I get up quite early every morning anyway, and I thought for a while that, you know, back then when I started business radio in South Africa, and it sounds like ancient history now, but back in the late 1990s, there was no business radio in South Africa. And so I had this idea that I can start something and, you know, tell people about what's happening in the world of business. And there was a lady called Charlene Smith who was the station manager at SAFM, and she kind of got it. At the time, I just I'd recently left APSA and I just started MoneyWeb, and I'm starting to look for ways to expand the MoneyWeb brand. We could see that we weren't going to be making a lot of money quickly out of the internet because, well, the bandwidth costs I told you about. Anyway, I had a long chat to Charlene, and Charlene said, no, she loved it. She just loved the idea. She had far more vision than pretty much anybody else in that building. And she then backed me. She said, go forth and go and make sure that you have a month's worth of interviews lined up, which was quite difficult. We'll put it on from 5 to 6 on SAFM, and we'll start on such and such a date. I said, fine, but I need a contract. And we signed a 6-month contract, and that was it. Charlene was fired due to internal politics at SAFM or SABC and whatever at the time. She was fired on the Friday because she decided to go ahead with this business program, which actually should have been enough to give her a gold medal. Anyway, she was fired, so the program was taken off air, and that was the end of that. They used me as a fill-in for the anchors for a period of time, 3 or 4 or 5 months or something. And then everyone had gone out and had their leave, and now they were still paying me. No, it wouldn't have been 5 minutes, maybe a couple of months, because I only had a 6-month contract. And then the station manager was, you know, a bit grumpy that he was paying me for doing nothing. And I said, well, give me those 20 minutes from 20 to 7. There was a program called Well Versed, which was a spiritual program, but pretty dour, from 6:30 to 6:40. And then there were guys at Appleton who used to read the share prices from 6:40 to 7 o'clock very poorly, and sometimes the guys were out at lunch. And anyway, they said, okay, if you can convince the guys at Appleton. So I got hold of the CEO of Appleton, who is now the man behind Warwick, and I said to him, how about us doing this, and you can carry on whatever you're paying them, just, you know, you'll get the sponsorship, you'll get the exposure. And he saw that as a very, very good idea, backed the proposal. And, well, before we could go on air, though, we went through a huge number of, hoops at the SABC. Ian Kilbride from Warwick will confirm this. It was there were lots of these focus groups, but eventually the focus groups came back comprehensively saying a business show will only work in the mornings. We then went ahead in the evenings anyway. We got it going, and of course now the rest is history. Ian Kilbride's Appleton at the time got really good return on their investment. And there are, I think, 5 evening business shows. But I've never forgotten the way that those focus groups came back, and the people in the focus groups said, and I think they spent a lot of money at the SABC those days, and they must have done 3 or 4 of these focus groups. And I remember sitting in the, you know, behind the one-way glass and listening to these guys, and it was quite difficult to listen to it because they were saying, no, it'll never work in the afternoon, but if it was in the morning, for sure. But I've never forgotten that. And, of course, to do a morning show was impossible because you wouldn't get the airtime. Back then, there were a restricted number of licenses, and so the licenses that were there, the airtime in the morning drive, which is the big listening time, they were all dedicated to what made you got you the biggest audiences so you could make the most money, and certainly business wasn't one of them. But now we don't have those restrictions anymore, so here we are. We're doing a business show, and It's funny what you learn through experiences that you can bring back into your life at a later date. Because the experience then was, I was, you know, quite upset about it, that these focus groups turned down what Charlene and I really believed would work. And I hope Charlene's doing very well wherever she is. I believe she emigrated to the US, not surprising with all the politics that she had to put up with. But it is such a pleasure now to be bringing you the Daybreak, the BizNews Daybreak. That's the backstory to it. I hope you listen to it every morning because it's my pride and joy at the moment. Until tomorrow, cheers.